Welcome back, Amazon sellers. Be Cool is here to share how anyone can start an Amazon business in Europe with just $150. Today, we interview Louis Moore III, who is living in Germany. He started his Amazon business with only $150, and he will share how anyone can do it too. Later on, we can learn from Louis how he overcame all the challenges he met along the way. Also, how would he start with $150? Remember to listen carefully to this podcast because it may change your life. My name is Samuel, and let's start our interview. Check it out. Welcome to the next Amazon Top Seller Podcast. Stay updated with the latest Amazon news and learn the nitty-gritty of selling on Amazon through BeQuil's years of expertise in the Amazon world. I'm Samuel, and I am the host of this podcast, brought to you by the fantastic Amazon experts in BeQuil. Let's start our journey to become the next Amazon top seller. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we have an Amazon influencer, Louis Moore, aka LM3, to join us. He's been putting contents on his social media constantly and sharing all his Amazon knowledge and his customer journey as an Amazon seller. He is specialized in selling used books and also selling groceries on Amazon FBA and Amazon FBM, with just $150 to start. Welcome, Louis. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Samuel. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So, Louis, tell me, where are you right now?
I am located in Germany. I'm about an hour away from Berlin.
So why are you in Berlin? Why Europe?
When I was 19, I joined the United States Army. I'm American. I joined the Army and I got shipped over to Germany. And while in Germany, I met my ex-wife and we had a child and I stayed over here because of that. And then I started to build my business and kind of put roots here with friends and family and things like that. So, yeah.
So your Amazon business, this is in Europe?
Yes, in Germany. Yes.
And where is this the name LM3? Where does that come from?
My name is Louis Moore III, and one of my subscribers gave me that name. She said it on one of my lives. She said it, and I really liked the way it sounded, so I just took it and ran with it.
So to help our audience become familiar, why did you start your Amazon business?
Well, I started reselling overall because I was broke. I didn't have any money. I was working a regular job, working almost 50 hours a week, and I still didn't have enough money to be able to do the extra things that I wanted to do. So I got online and I started to look for different ways to be able to find ways to make extra money. And I started with blogging, and that was my first way of actually making money online. I was making like $1,000 a month, but I was blogging in a topic that I hated writing about. I was just doing it because it was a popular topic. So I started to look for more ways to make money online. And I had about 50 pair of sneakers, Jordans, that I was like, I got to the point to where I realized I was wasting my money on these shoes while I didn't have any money. So I started to sell my shoes on eBay. And then I was amazed by how fast they were selling. So I started to sell other things on eBay. And over time, just doing research about how to be a better eBay seller, I came across Amazon. I don't remember how, but I came across Amazon and selling used books on Amazon. And I started doing Amazon also. And over time, Amazon just kind of took control and I stopped doing eBay and moved all the way over to selling on Amazon.
So what's the difference between selling on eBay and selling on Amazon? Like, why did you move from eBay to Amazon?
I like to say eBay is more of a wish and a hope. Like, you hope you sell something on eBay or you wish you sell it on eBay. Like, there's a little method to the madness. Like, you can go on there and see the sold items and see what, like, people are popular. But there's really no way of telling if sell. You're just basing it off of what other people bought. But Amazon, like, I'm a numbers guy and I'm a logical guy. So I like to be able to go on Amazon. Like, you can use the sales rank. You can use softwares like Keepa. And you can pretty much predict how many times the item is going to sell in a month, how much is going to sell. It's just more logical compared to eBay.
So when you sell on Amazon, you're able to see how many products could be sold, and then this help you make a better sourcing decision as well, like when you're picking products.
Exactly.
So, you know, back to you a little bit, like, so are you doing Amazon full time now, or are you doing it on a side?
Oh, no. Well, see, this is the thing. I'm going to tell you, yes, I do Amazon full time because I work like a full time Amazon seller, but I still also have a full time job. A lot of people want to say, like, I know when you say full time, people think like, oh, that's your only type of job that you do is just straight Amazon. And even if I didn't have a regular job, I'm still a content creator. I still have another blog. So I'm always doing different things. But overall, I do Amazon and I still have a job. So in the theory of it, no, I'm not a full-time. I do it part-time, but I work really hard at it.
So let me ask you, like, how do you manage your Amazon business with a 9-to-5 type of job?
That's what I do. I just manage my time. I don't think everybody has to be this focused on it, but I'm very big into managing my time and planning out my time. Like, I plan out my time 2 to 3 weeks. Like, I could tell you today what I'm going to do at the end of the month. And over time, I learned to cut out different things. Like, I learned I was spending too much time on social media. That extra hour and a half a day I was spending on social media looking at TikToks or Instagram reels, that's time I could be sourcing, or that's time I could be learning a new skill. I'm just very, like, I know every 30 minutes what I'm going to be doing. So I'm very anal on planning out my time.
So what kind of time management techniques do you use?
I use time blocking. I do use that. And so I know today that from 5:15 in the morning to 6:15, I'm going to be with you doing this interview. And then I have 2 hours to travel to work and get work stuff situated. And then from 8 to 10, I know from 8 to 10, I'm going to be editing a video. And also I use what's known as the Pomodoro technique, because I have ADD. So it's very hard for me to sit down and focus for over like 30 minutes on something. So I work for 25 minutes, then I take a break. Then I work again for 25 minutes, then I take a break. And I do that 4 times. Then I take a 15-minute break. And usually I don't plan things that take more than 4 of those systems, because then I start to get out of it. I move to the next thing. So those are the 2 things I do.
So I love that. You talk about time boxing or mm-hmm. time blocking, and mm-hmm. then you also use the Pomodoro, which is 25 minutes for yeah. each interval.
Yes.
And then you rest for 5 minutes every 25 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that technique as well.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Works.
Also, when I'm doing my work, my mind is always thinking of different things. So usually I'll be editing a video and then I'll think, why do cats blah, 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 blah. And then I'll go Google why cats do that. But now what I do is I have a paper next to me. And whenever I have a random thought, I'll just write it down and then keep working. And then when I'm on my 5-minute break, I'll go to that paper and see which of these things I actually care about and which of these things are just my mind trying to get me to stop working on my things.
Okay, so you have something where you can transfer your ideas, the creativity, mm-hmm. you know, and just put it on paper. And you can look at it another time. You schedule a time that you look at, review those ideas later after that.
Yes, yes.
So let's go back a little bit to Amazon.
Okay.
You said that you started with $150. How did you start with $150?
I started with $150 because I was technically broke. Even though I was selling on eBay, I had got to the point to where I sold all the shoes that I wanted to sell. And I was having a hard time finding more things to sell, because in Germany, it's not like in the States where you can go to a thrift shop and find these popular shoes or these popular tools. Most of the thrift shops here are just old people giving their old stuff away and nobody's buying that type of stuff. So I had like $150 and I found Reezy Resales and I found Raking Profits, and both of them were talking about selling used books on Amazon. And I didn't want to put as much money into it at first because I didn't believe that people were like still reading physical books. So I took $150 and I went to the thrift store and I found almost 300 used books, and that was my first shipment that I sent into Amazon.
So for that first shipment, yeah, and a big shout out to Reezy Resales and also to Raking Profits.
Yes.
Both of them, they use Bequel, and then Reezy Resales in the past he has used it before, and you know, we'd love to talk to him too. But back to you, like mm-hmm. for the used books,
yes.
for that first $150, how did you pick those used books to get, those 300 used books?
That's funny, because even though I watched these guys, I guess I didn't watch enough information because I didn't know. They use an extra program called Scoutly.
They scan it, right?
Yeah, they scan it.
Bluetooth. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They scan it, and then it pretty much tells them buy this or don't buy this. You give Scoutly your parameters of what you're looking for, maybe by sales rank, by often how much it sells. But Scoutly doesn't work in Germany, so I was just using the regular sellers app. So I would go, I would scan a book, I would look at the sales rank. I would want it to be below 1 million at that time, below 1 million sales rank. I would look at the reviews. I wanted it to be more than 3 reviews and more than a 3-star rating. Then I would look at how many Amazon sellers are selling this book. I didn't want it to be more than 4 or 5 sellers because I didn't want my book to sit for years and years waiting for it to be sold, because books are a very slow moving item. Like a book of maybe sell once every 3 months. And then also I would look at the profit. Was I making, if I was spending 50 cents on it, I wanted to make at least $2 profit on it. And if those 4 things lined up, then I would buy it.
So what about now? Like recently I was playing around with the Amazon seller app And I really like the camera function now. Mm-hmm. Now, I was scanning some books as well. And now, you know, once you scan it, it just takes a picture. Before, exactly. I had to go to the back and look at the ISBN, which exactly. is great. What about now? Is that still the technique you would recommend people who are just starting out?
The good thing about, I started almost 2.5 years ago. So over that time, I've become more knowledgeable on how to sell on Amazon and how to source. So I will recommend that people get Scoutly if you're in the States. And if you're outside of the States, I will recommend you get an app called Scout IQ. No, I'm sorry, I was saying it wrong. Scout IQ is for the States. Scoutly is what I use, which is outside of the States. And it works in Europe, Canada, it works all over. And it's just like Scout IQ. You can set up your different triggers and you just scan it and it's much quicker. And I also use the way that you were talking about. If the book doesn't have a barcode on it, like a lot of old books don't have a barcode on it, or a lot of hard copy books don't have a barcode on it, I'll just open up the Amazon seller app and scan the cover of the book.
So let me ask you, because I was scanning books myself. Like I scanned a lot of different books.
Oh, wow, okay.
Several of them, they're gated.
Yes.
Like I wasn't able to sell that book. Yes. So what do I do? Like, let's say I go to the place, I found maybe I got 20 books that I can't sell it.
Right. See, that's a problem that I was coming across for 2 years. And I just figured out how to fix that a couple of weeks ago. And I found out because I was at the grocery store and I was scanning an item. And it said that I was gated on it. Get approved is what it says on Amazon. And then it said, congratulations, you're approved. But then I scanned the item again. And then it said, no, you're still gated. So what you should do is you should try to get approved for it. And if you get auto approved, there's a glitch in the Amazon app that it'll say that you're auto approved, but then you're not auto approved. So what you have to do is you have to get approved through the Seller Central web browser. And if you do it that way, then you'll be actually ungated in it. And if it's from the manufacturer, like a lot of manufacturers don't want anybody else selling their books, so they'll gate the book. And if that happens, then you just can't do anything about it. Just move on to the next book.
So what do you do with those books that can't sell?
Well, I have a system. If I get a gaylord of books, which is just a bunch of books at one time, maybe between 600 to 1,000, over half of those books don't sell on Amazon FBA. So if it doesn't sell on Amazon FBA because the sales rank is too high or the profit isn't high enough, then I'll look and think, does it sell for Amazon FBM? If it doesn't sell for Amazon FBM, I'll just donate it back to another thrift store that I usually don't go thrifting at, because I don't want to give those books back to a thrift store that I do thrift at, because then I'll just end up thrifting the exact same books.
Right. You'll be going for the same pile again, right?
Exactly.
Like next time you purchase from them.
Exactly.
So let's slow down a little bit. Can you tell me, like, what should people sell on FBA? What should people sell on FBM? Because you talked about selling on FBA and also about FBM.
Okay. You can sell anything on FBA. I'm still surprised today of some of the things that people sell on FBA. So I don't think it goes by what item you should sell on FBA. I think it goes by what parameters you want to sell on FBA. You want to sell things that don't sit so long in the storage at FBA, because after a year of sitting in the storage, you're hit with long-term storage fees, which is crazy the amount they charge for that. It's like 3 to 4 times the regular storage fees. So you want to send in fast-moving items to Amazon FBA, whether that's by, you can tell that by the sales rank, you can use an item software like Keepa that'll tell you. And then with FBM, the way I do FBM is for books. If it's over 800,000, because I used to sell under 1 million to Amazon FBA, but that's still too much. So if it's over 800,000, but it has a good profit, over $5 profit, then I'll store it as FBM. And also what you decide to store as FBM depends on what type of space you have. If you don't have a lot of space, then you really can't do that much FBM. But if you have a basement or a storage unit or a warehouse, then you can store more things. And when you store it yourself, it doesn't matter how long it sells, because it's your own storage. You're not getting those hit with those storage fees.
That totally makes sense. So if a product is not going to sell quickly, mm-hmm. then you might keep it in FBM, keep it at your own house.
Exactly.
Somewhere where you're not charged for storage.
Exactly.
If it can move quickly, especially in Q4, mm-hmm. where the prices rise for storage, mm-hmm. I think it's $6.90. Well, this is for the US. I don't know. In Europe, it's probably the same. You'll be getting a lot more.
It's about the same. Oh, also with FBM, there's another way I do FBM is this is two things I do. I'll sell groceries as FBM and I won't buy the actual item until it sells. I don't know how that sounds, but there's a lot of grocery store items that are like brand items for the grocery store that are always in stock that sell on Amazon FBA, and maybe that sells on Amazon. And maybe the sales rank isn't worth me sending it into FBA. I'll sell it as FBM. And when somebody buys it, I'll just go to the store, buy it, and then ship it. And also with—
That's genius.
Yeah, thank you.
This reminds me of the days in eBay where you would sell the product first, then purchase it, then you ship it. Yeah, that's what I used to do as well.
That is exactly where I got the idea from. I had a friend who was an eBay seller, and he was telling me that he'll sell dollar store DVDs, but he would just sell it on eBay. And then once somebody bought it, he would go across the street to the dollar store, buy it, and then ship it off. And I was like, that should work for Amazon also.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. What if you sold the product, but you go back to the grocery store and, you know, God forbid, you can't find it anymore. It sold out.
Honestly, I get that. And I don't do it with a lot of items. I just do it with the items that I know will be in stock. And also these items that I sell, it's only like 10 different items. These items I can get from separate different grocery stores. So maybe this grocery store doesn't have it, but I can go 10 minutes down the street to the next grocery store and then they have it. So I have more grocery stores to pick from than just one.
So selling on Amazon Europe or in Germany, is it profitable to get items from the grocery stores and then sell them? Like, what do you guys have there? Like Aldi's or?
We have Aldi, yes.
Yeah, Aldi's, right? Yeah, I remember that. And I didn't see too many clearance items. There's some, but it didn't seem like there's tons, you know, like that. So how does it work?
That is the thing. I get a lot of my items are not even on clearance. It's amazing the items that you can get that are priced regular, such as boxes of cereal or bars of chocolate, different that are on regular price that sell for double and triple on Amazon. So a lot of the items I get aren't even on sale. They're just regular price items that I can sell more on Amazon. And the thing about it is that like the profit margins aren't the biggest. Maybe if you buy a pack of candy, you're making 30 or 40 or 50 cents on it. But the thing about it is you have to stack those profits. So instead of just buying like, and when I sell used books, I only can find one of those books. So I can only sell it once. But when I'm selling a pack of candy or a pack of gummy bears, I can get that item 100, 200, 300 times. And then I stack up the profits that way.
So I was reviewing, you know, candies, specifically this category, like decorations. I was reviewing it and for Halloween and also for Christmas as well. And I lived in Germany for a little while. Halloween didn't seem that big. Right. Okay. So it's a little bit different than the US, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you wouldn't go out there and buy a bunch of candy for Halloween and expect it to like sell out quickly.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that much Halloween candy because first off, they don't really have that much. I'm not sure if I ever really seen like any Halloween branded candy, but Valentine's Day is big here. Christmas, of course, is big here. Those type of holidays and Easter is also big. So once the holiday passes and all the candy gets reduced, you still have like a good month of that. You can sell those products on Amazon and people are still buying them and you can make a lot of money because the items are reduced by 70, 80% then.
And then going back a little bit to used books, could you explain a little bit more on the bestseller rank for used books? Like, how do you decide when you're picking products, like you should sell this, you should send this to FBA? And I know you went over a little bit, but can you go a little bit more detail? Because you also teach people about the bestseller rank.
Yes. Basically, the bestseller rank is just a number that Amazon gives to every item that sells on Amazon. And it just tells you the lower the number is, the more often that book sells or that item sells. And there's different categories. I think there's over like 36 different categories that Amazon has. And each category, the sales rank means a different thing. So if I was to say I sell books on Amazon FBA that are under 800,000, that's fine because there's like 42 million books being sold in Germany. So under 800,000 is still under 1% of the fastest selling items. But I would never sell an item in the grocery category that was 800,000 because that means that it never sells at all. So with books, I stay under 800,000 when I'm sending it into Amazon FBA. But between 500,000 and 800,000, the profit has to be pretty good for me to send it in there because it's going to sit a little bit longer, maybe 3 months, maybe 4 months. But if I'm making $5 to $10 profit, I'm fine with that. And under 500,000 from 100 to 500,000, that means the book could sell maybe anywhere from 2 weeks to a month. And then under 100,000, I'll send in automatically. I'll even send in books. If I get it in the Gaylord and I already paid for the book, I'll send it in even if I'm going to lose a small amount of profit. Because I really believe that once you sell one item, it stimulates Amazon to kind of show your items to more people. So even if I lose a couple of cents on it, I'll make up for it with other items that I sell.
And I think one of the tips for the audience is, like, if you have a product, even though you can break even, or you might as well get rid of it, because, like, otherwise you're not getting any money back.
Exactly.
Right? You've already paid for it.
Exactly.
So where do you source these books in Europe? Because we hear a lot about them, you know, America, you know, where people can find books. But what about in Germany or in Europe? If I want to start selling books in Europe, what do I do?
The first place I ever sourced books was a dollar store called the Euro Shop. The Euro is like the Germany's currency. So the Euro Shop, which is like a dollar store, I would go there because they would get books from bigger stores that were probably getting rid of them, and then they would sell them for Euro there. So I would go there and get them first. The thing that you want to do is, when you buy new books, if you're not buying it from a wholesaler or a distributor and you don't have an invoice, not a receipt, but an itemized invoice saying exactly what the book is, then you want to sell the book as like new and not new, because you can get an IP complaint, which is just the manufacturer saying that you don't have permission to sell that book. So if you do get new books from a regular store, then sell it as like new, which you still can make a lot of money on it. But then I started going to thrift stores, and I would go to thrift stores and I would find books there. But it comes a time to where, when I first started, I had a lot of free time, but not a lot of money. But now I have more money than I have time. So going to the thrift store doesn't really make that much sense, because I'm still left with like a lot of money. So now I try to get my books in bulk, which I'll go make deals with different thrift stores and buy 500, 600, 700 books at a time.
So, you know, many people are a bit scared to start their Amazon business. And they might be watching this. They might be in Europe. They might be in the US, wherever they are. What would you say to somebody in that situation?
If you're thinking about doing something and you're letting fear hold you back, then you should just get over that. Like, you can be scared and still do something. Somebody once told me that this, I don't want to be all motivational or whatever, but somebody told me that sometimes the best way to be fearless is just to act like you're fearless. So even if you're scared, still do it. Also, I like to say, a lot of people get stuck in the whole research phase. Like, oh, I'm learning how to do it, or I'm researching how to do it. You can jump off the mountain and learn how to fly on your way down, which is what a lot of us Amazon sellers do. We don't know everything when we first start, but we just get in there and then we learn as we're going. So stop thinking so much and just start it. And if you're worried about losing a couple of $100s, just get that out of your head, because what's the worst that could happen? You can start, lose a couple of $100s, which chances are, if you do enough research, that won't happen. But what's the best that could happen? You can end up starting something that can change your whole life.
Yeah, it's like weighing the risk, right? Mm-hmm. And if you overthink it, overthinking it, then you're always learning. I'm learning this, I'm learning that, I'm learning, 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 but you're never doing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you got to be an action taker. I totally agree with you.
Exactly.
And what is the worst thing that could happen to you, right? What is the worst thing? You'll be where you are before.
Exactly.
Right? And then you just lost a couple of months of time, and you probably would be spending that time doing things that are not as
don't help it at all.
Well, exactly. And then also, like, think about the business risk. If you went out, you do a store, and then you invested, you're going to be spending a lot more money than if you're just trying to sell something online first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's also something that I like to say. Like, we live in a time now where you can literally start your own store for under a couple of $100s. If you were to do this, like you said, maybe 10 years ago, do you know, you have to invest, you have to get a loan from the bank, invest $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in there. And then you could really like lose like a lot of money. But with this, you can literally start with like $100. Like people spend more on Starbucks coffee in a month compared to what you could start a business with now.
But we still got some hesitant audience. So I want to ask you, what could be the worst thing that happened to you if you sell on Amazon?
The worst thing is that I've never heard it happening, but in theory, you can start private labeling and you can start something like a shampoo line or a soap line or something like that. And somebody can get hurt by your product and you can get sued. But that is not a way I would recommend somebody start. But if you wanted to start doing private labeling and you did something that has some type of chemicals in it, that's something that could happen.
Yeah. So you got to pick the products category carefully.
Yeah.
When you start out, you know, start with something safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then move on. And then I do know some sellers, they sell the hazardous product and a super high profit. But of course, there's a lot more risk as well.
Exactly.
Right. But then they're more advanced. And they know the rules really well.
Exactly.
So What would you recommend for people when they're pricing used books? Like what ROIs or how much dollar amount do you suggest people to at least get when they're setting their mins and their max prices?
I believe it depends on what type of person you are. Like there's a lot of people who like to, who are more patient and they don't mind books sitting for a couple of months. I'm the total opposite. I want to send this stuff and I want it to sell as much as possible. So I'm totally fine with selling books for lower than what I could get if I waited. So I'll buy a book for 50 cents and then I'll list it on Amazon for $14.99 and I'll put my minimum as $7.99, which will give me maybe $2 or $2.50 profit, which is the lowest that most books sell here in Germany. And I'm fine if all my books sold with $7.99, I'm still making 300-400% ROI. So I'm fine with that. But if you want your books to sit a little bit longer and you're wanting to sell it like a little bit more, then you can set it for $8.99, $9.99, $10.99. Who knows? But I'm fine with it selling at the minimum.
So I want to ask you, what's your process? Like, what are some of the essential tools for somebody who is just starting out in Amazon?
Okay. I actually just wrote a blog post about this. To start out, all you need is a laptop, a cell phone, and a printer. That's all you need to be bare bones to get the job done. That's not the quickest way or the easiest way. But just to start out, I really recommend that people start out that way because it forces you to use the Seller Central website and the Seller app to do your shippings and your listings. And I think it's very important to learn how these items or how these tools work before you start adding in things to make life easy. But once you do a couple of shipments, then you can get things like a barcode scanner. You can get a USB barcode scanner. You can get softwares like third-party listers that will make the listing process a lot quicker. Then, of course, I always recommend that you get BeCool, a repricer, because that has changed how much I sell and how I sell. So those are some of the things that you can get once you start to get more profit and you start to learn more of the process.
So as a bare bones seller, you know, if I'm just trying to do bare bones, start out with $150.
Yes.
What would be the breakdown of that $150? Like how much of it for inventory? How much of it? Because like if you want to get the buy box, for example, should you invest in becoming a professional Amazon seller? Like, okay. Because you need to pay Amazon for that professional Amazon seller account, $39.99 US, and in Europe is probably around the same price.
Yes, it is.
Like, what do you do?
I used to tell people to never go with the individual account because when you have the individual account, which is also known as the free account, you have a surcharge of 99 cents for every item that you sell. And if you want to sell more than 40 items a month, which is what you want to do as the Amazon seller, you want to be selling 10 times that. But then if you sell more than 40, then you're paying more than what the actual professional account costs. But if you're just starting out bare bones and you just want to kind of put your foot in there, then get the free account. But if you already know this is something that you really want to do, then you would take and get that professional account. And the thing about that, it just depends on how fast you are. If you sign up for Amazon and you hit the road running and you're sending in your shipment within a month, you might not have to pay that 40 euro or that $40 out of pocket. You might already sell enough items to where Amazon just takes it from your balance. But the breakdown would be save if you have $150 and you already have your laptop, your phone, and your printer, then take $100 and go source books, which you can get anywhere from 100 to 200 books. So that's $100 for that. And then the other 50 is just save it for your paid membership of Amazon. And that's all you will need to do. You can get boxes for free. When I first started, I got boxes for free. I would go to my grocery store or to a local shoe store, and I would ask them if I could have boxes from them and tape and paper. Those are things that like you probably already have around your house anyway.
So that's somebody with $150. What about if somebody wants to start at $1,000? What would the breakdown be for them?
If you had $1,000, I would say that you will want to start with books and retail arbitrage, which is where you go to stores like Walmart or Target and you find items that are on sale that you can sell for a profit on Amazon. So I would say if you had $1,000, you would want to make the process as easy as possible. So instead of using your regular printer, which you would use these things called 30 up labels, which is the sheets of a paper that have a label, one row, two rows, three rows, you will get what's known as a thermal printer, which is a printer that actually prints from heat instead of ink, which will save you a lot of money and is a lot faster when you're doing labels. So you will spend maybe $100 to $150 on that. You will get the professional account. So that's $200 gone. You will sign up for a third-party lister, which the one I use only costs like $10 a month. Then the other $750 you would use on inventory. You would get as many used books as you possibly can. I don't know where you live at, so maybe you can spend $400 or $500 on that. And then the other $250, I would go to stores like Walmart and Target and just scan all the items in the kitchen aisle or in the arts and craft aisles and see what you can find.
So let's talk about some of those essential tools that you mentioned.
Yes.
Like when you're starting out, what is the three essential tools? Like you said, the Amazon Professional Account is a must. Yes. Because you definitely want to do more than 40 sales. Right. So it makes a lot of sense rather than paying 99 cents for that.
Exactly.
You've mentioned Keepa as well.
Yes.
And then you also mentioned Turbo Lister, the one that you use.
Right.
And then there's also Bequal that you mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. So would these be the essential softwares that you recommend people like when they start out?
That is my trinity that I would use. Keepa, Turbo Lister, and Bequal, definitely. Because Keepa, I just recently started to use Keepa because I didn't know about the power of Keepa. But now that I have it, I honestly don't know how I was selling without it. Keepa is what you use to tell you who's selling this item, how many of the items they're selling, how often the item sells, how often over 30 days, 90 days, or 180 days the item sells. This pretty much tells you if an item is worth selling or not. Then with Turbo Lister, that is a third-party listing software, which just makes the process of shipping items much quicker. There's only been one time that I thought about quitting Amazon, and that was back when I was sending in like 200 books, and I had to do it all by hand using the actual seller's app because it was taking me 2 days to like label and ship these books, and I just couldn't do it. Like, it was just taking too much time. But then I found out about Turbo Lister, so that's fine. And then Bequal, of course, because you want to reprice your items because everybody else is doing it, and you want to be able to compete. You actually want your items to be able to sell.
So when did you decide to use Bequal?
To be honestly, I don't know when I started to use Bequal, but I can tell you why I started to use Bequal. Bequal wasn't my first repricer. I had went through three or four different repricers before that. But being in Germany, a lot of these repricers don't cater to us, or they will say that they sell or that you can use their repricer in Germany or in Europe or outside the country, but they don't really focus on that. So it's just, yeah, you can use it, but if it has a glitch or it doesn't work, then we don't really know about it. So after the fourth repricer, I got tired of it because either the customer service was bad or it just did not work. So I found Repricer through a YouTube video. And once I got to Bequal, the thing that really got me is the customer service. Like, I had a couple of questions and they were always answered to like so much detail to where I never had to ask follow-up questions. And the repricer actually works. Like, it actually does what it's supposed to do. It reprices. And that's all that you need. It reprices and the customer service is good. And at that time, I wasn't making as much money, so it was very affordable.
And you are selling in which marketplace?
I was selling in Germany.
In Germany.
Yes.
So the repricer worked for you in Germany.
Yes. Yes.
And how has Bequal helped your business?
Bequal has helped my business by a lot of different ways. It's much easier going into Bequal and going through the listings and seeing why my items aren't selling. Cause you can even see who has the buy box at that time, what is the lowest price. So it's much easier to compare my price to other prices. Also, it takes a lot of stress off because I don't have to worry about repricing items. I just set my minimum and my maximum. I worked on my rules a lot, which is something that I recommend. Like, you need to actually understand how Bequal works to get the best out of it. And I always say that repricing isn't something that you just do, set, and then forget about it. It's an ongoing process that you're always learning and you're always trying new things. So I go into Bequal at least 3 times a week. And I might not check everything, but I'm always changing rules and things inside my rules to get the best out of it. And it's also just increased my sales. When I started first using Bequal, over the 14-day trial, I increased my sales by like almost 40%.
Oh, well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
And talking about rules, like, how do you pick your rules? Like, what are some of the things to consider when you're picking rules for used books?
For used books, like I said, it just depends on how often you want to sell or how quick you want to sell. Like, I have one rule just for used books where I target the lowest price. I don't target the buy box. I target the lowest price because I just want my books to sell as quick as possible. So if you want them to sell as quick as possible, target the low price. I also Some people will just compete against FBA offers that are in the same condition as theirs. That's what I was doing for months. But then I realized that a lot of my books would just sit because there was nobody else to reprice against. But I talked to BeCool about it. I talked to Eric about it. And he explained to me that that's the reason why a lot of my books were just sitting is because there's nobody else to reprice against. So now I reprice against Amazon and other FBM sellers. And I've been selling a lot more books that way also.
So when you're competing, you're not just competing with a certain type of category. And that's typical, right? Yes. Like that's because you're competing against Amazon, against FBM, against Seller Fulfilled Prime, all sorts of different sellers. And then what I would encourage is also, we also have the AI, which actually works very well for used books and also conditional repricing. So we continue to release new features out there. Mm-hmm. And the conditional repricing will work when there's inventory age. Like if you don't think this is going to sell in 3 months, mm-hmm. then after 3 months, it starts to lower the price by a certain amount.
Oh, wow.
So that's really cool. And then we could talk more about that. But as an Amazon seller, when do you know that you should start outsourcing?
You mean like getting a VA?
Yeah. At some point in time, or have you thought about that before?
Yes, that is one of the things that is on my mind now. If you're doing online arbitrage, then it's very easy to know what you want a VA to do, which is pretty much just source for you and find more items. But I don't do that much online arbitrage. I'm just starting to do online arbitrage now. So I've been trying to figure out ways that I can use a VA to free up some of my times. And since we're talking about it, one of the ways that I came up with is for them to be going into my BeCool 3 times a week and repricing my items. So that's something that I'm trying to get. I'm trying to put systems in place now to where I can explain it to somebody else and it makes perfect sense. So that's what I'm doing now, is trying to figure out a system to explain how I go about repricing my items. And I'm also trying to figure out how to get this done from a VA without giving them full access to my BeCool or full access to my Amazon store so that they can't do anything if something was to happen. So yes, I do want to use VAs. I have used VAs in the past for other things that I have done. And I don't want to say it's cheap, but it's affordable and it frees up your time because in Amazon, sourcing is everything. So if you're able to give your task to somebody else and you can focus more on sourcing, which is what brings you the money, then it's definitely worth it.
So it really depends on your business model as well, too. Yeah. Like if you do more retail and some of the stuff, you do have to look at it. But within BeCool, there's different permission levels. So you can set it up where someone else can help you with some of the repricing as well after you train them very adequately, because the prices is very, very sensitive.
It's
a very important part, right?
Yes.
So tell us, how many hours do you put in your business every week at the beginning when you start it? And what about now?
That's one thing that a lot of people say. It's like, oh, I spend only 10 hours on my business a week or something like that. I'm not that way. I spend a lot of time on my business. And I don't just consider the time that I'm repricing or that I'm listing items or that I'm making shipments as time that I spend on my business. I also, the time that I spend to network with other Amazon sellers, the time I've been like, I buy like a lot of courses. Courses is something else that I recommend that you buy. It's courses. It's, you can either spend months going through YouTube trying to piece things together to figure out how it works, or you can buy a course for $300 and get a straight map on how to get things done. So I really recommend courses. So I like learn like a lot. I still watch a lot of YouTube videos. So I say I spend anywhere from 30 to 40 hours a week on my business.
So you were saying that you also purchase courses as well.
Yes.
My understanding is you also have a course coming out. Is that right?
Yes, I have a course coming out. It's called the Amazon Book Hustle, and it's just going to teach people from step A to step Z exactly how to sell used books, how to sign up for your Amazon account, which Amazon account to get, how to create an LLC, why you need an LLC, how to find books, where to find books, how to list these books, how to ship these books, how to reprice these books. And it gives you like a lot more information on just exactly how to do the whole Amazon book selling thing.
So whether you're in Europe, whether you're in the United States, you could check out Lewis's course that is coming out and definitely sign up, sign up in the description as well.
Thank you.
Now, back to you, Lewis.
Yes.
If you could give yourself and our audience 3 tips from when you first started, what would they be?
First tip is to learn how to use Keepa. Become a professional at using Keepa. Keepa is very important. It's not so important when you use books, but when you're selling other items in retail arbitrage or online arbitrage or even wholesale, Keepa is very, very important. So use Keepa. Second, if you're going to start selling used books, understand that selling used books isn't It could be, but I don't think it's something that you want to do forever. It's something that you want to use if you have a small amount of capital when you first start, and you use that to move to the next thing, which is retail arbitrage / online arbitrage. Me personally, I still use books for over 2 years. I don't think I'll ever stop selling used books, but I want to learn how to outsource that to somebody else to go do that. Now I moved to doing online arbitrage and retail arbitrage. So used books isn't like a thing that you want to do forever. It's just a stepping stone to moving on to the next thing. And the third thing is you want to always be learning, always be learning, always be learning, whether it's YouTube videos or courses, always be learning. And a bonus is to network with other Amazon sellers. Like, you don't have to become an Amazon content creator and make cool videos like me. You don't have to do that. But you can set up an Instagram account or a TikTok account, follow some other Amazon sellers that you admire, and you can learn a lot of things from like just doing that.
Louis, could you tell us a little bit more, like, how do you network with other Amazon sellers, especially with some of the sellers, they're huge, or maybe they have a huge following. Like, what are some ways to network with them? Like, I'm interested in that personally as well.
Well, me is different because I have my platform isn't as big as a lot of these other Amazon sellers, but I do have a platform that people actually listen to and follow. So I have something to offer. Just like, for example, with Rake and Profit, he has over 170,000 subscribers. I'm nowhere near that, but he has a message that he wants to get out, and any true content creator can recognize networking with other content creators, even if they have a smaller following, because that following may not be following you. So I'm able to offer my following to other people. So it's much easier for me to network with other people. But when you're just networking and you don't have like a content following, then just network with people around you, or like in your same niche or in your same level. And also just simple things that's like liking other people's pictures, commenting on other people's pictures. If somebody bigger than you post something that you want to question about, then like ask that question in the comments, send them a DM. Because one thing I've learned is that a lot of Amazon sellers, we like to teach other people. People would think that Amazon sellers will be like, no, I'm keeping all the secrets to myself because there's not enough money to go around for everybody and I don't want people to do. But a lot of Amazon sellers love to talk about Amazon, and they will talk your ear off about it if you just ask questions.
So they're willing to share if you ask about it. That's
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly.
And then what's your future plan for your Amazon business?
I honestly want to end up having it to where I have a warehouse and I'm doing all the different models of Amazon. I want like a department that's just selling used books, a department that's doing online arbitrage, a department that's doing retail arbitrage, and then department that's doing private labeling. And it's working to where all I have to do is just approve buying. Like, I don't have to be in the thrift shops anymore. I don't have to be creating labels, creating shipments anymore. I don't have to do the repricing anymore. I just oversee all that. So that's where I want to be in the next 2 to 3 years.
That sounds fantastic. Like, with having your warehouse, you don't need to rely only on Amazon as well. Like, and you could also ship to other channels and platforms as well.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to share with our audience today?
Pretty much, if you haven't learned anything from this interview, then just I want you to take the fact that you don't have to be special. You don't have to have a special talent or a special skill to start selling on Amazon FBA. Anybody can do it. As long as you're willing to learn and you're willing to hustle and you're willing to actually stick with it, you can be successful. It's not something that is like out of your reach. Anybody can do it.
So for all our audience, make sure to go follow Louis Moore in the description below. He has a great YouTube channel full of action, wisdom, knowledge that he's gathered through the years. He also has a podcast as well. And make sure to sign up for his course. This is a guy who's in the trenches. He's with you there. He teaches you step by step how to go from $150 to where he's at and even farther apart. So definitely do that. And thanks again, Louis, for your time. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And Louis, I got one last section here. We have a rapid fire session.
Okay.
I know we didn't rehearse this. We just have answers 10 seconds or less. Yeah. Okay. It's just for fun, you know, get people to know you a little better. So you ready?
Yes.
Morning or evening?
Morning.
Diet or weight training?
Both. Diet is what gets you to lose the weight. Weight training is what gets you to sculpt the body that you want.
Basketball or football?
Basketball, but I don't really watch sports.
Sports car or SUV?
Sports car.
Netflix or HBO?
Netflix.
Amazon repricer or BeQuil repricer?
BeQuil repricer, of course.
And that's Louis Moore, the third for you.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode and took some notes to use for your Amazon business. Make sure to check our YouTube channel as well by searching BeQuil. We'll keep updating our YouTube and podcast channels with new content. If you are an Amazon seller, we have something for you. Do you want to win the Amazon Buy Box more often? Then make sure to check our BeQuil repricer. You can check our website at www.beQuil.com and get a 14-day free trial. We're BeQuil. We keep innovating to help you stay cool with your Amazon business. I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to stay connected with our weekly new episodes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or any other streaming platform you prefer. Let's continue our journey to become the next Amazon top seller.